We are unworthy.
Father, jako niektórzy.
In these gifts speaking. That God has given us. And what has He given us? He has given us salvation. He has given us Himself. He has given us truth. He has given us life. He has given us light. What does this mean? What does this mean? And we are always told by the Holy Fathers that we should never hide the light, that we should allow the light to shine forth upon all mankind. What does that mean? What light? What light? What is the light? What is this light that the Holy Fathers speak of, that the Gospels and the Prophets speak of, that Meupi Nicolos spoke of earlier? What is this light? I remember in 1996, our priest at the time, Atzilut Serafim in Hawaii, it's a tiny little mission. He said, you know, we should bring Jose here with the icon. And this is the only parish in the world in Hawaii dedicated to the Montreal Iveron icon. Imagine that. And the church was originally founded as an offshoot of the local Greek community, the parish at least. They had broken away in protest because of the calendar and because of ecumenism and because of this and because of that. They broke off in anger and in protest. And they founded the church dedicated to St. Mark of Ephesus in protest, in anger. That's not a church. That's not right. There's no grace when that happens. There must come struggle. And then Vladika Anthony of Los Angeles came to Hawaii with a big package of this big. And he said to the people, here. And they opened it. And it was a copy of the Montreal Mer-Streaming icon. This was in 1983. So this icon, a few months ago, began streaming Mer in Montreal. And we are going to rededicate this church to the Mother of God. We're going to rededicate your community from St. Mark of Ephesus to the Mother of God. Because you were founded in protest. But now you are founded in love. And in the grace of this miracle that God has given us. And they struggled for years before my family joined the parish. They struggled. They flew priests in. Father Verki Moreno, who's buried here, came and flew to Hawaii many times and was the spiritual father there. Many priests from the Western Diocese came to serve, including Father Serge Kotar, who just celebrated his 75th birthday. And then in 96, a phone call was made to Jose. Can you come to Hawaii? And with his very broken English, he said, well, I will send you myrrh. He did. He sent us myrrh. And he said, I will come when you build your church. And I will bring the Mother of God with me. Those are his exact words. I will come when you build your church, and I will build, and I will bring the Mother of God with me. The next year he died, and the icon disappeared. And we were devastated, like everyone else in the world, because the icon had never come to the place, to the church, to the community dedicated to her. But boy, that's very... Is that irony? What is that? So we'd always wonder that, about that. Now I understand. You see, a church is not a building. It's Bodhita says, a church is the people here. You are the church. The buildings be damned. You are the church. You are the community. When St. John on Patmos writes about the churches that remain faithful, he's not talking about places. He's talking about people. People who remain faithful in the adversity of the spirit of Antichrist and the evil that exists out there. The people. And we began to know, understand that in our little section of paradise on the island where we grew as a parish. We loved one another. We fought with one another. We scolded and spanked each other's children. And we came together. This is a family. This is what the church is. We're not separate families who come together and gossip and have our little cliques, go to communion, then leave for the week. No, that's not a church. That is not a church. That's why it's amazing what Father Victor's built in D.C. and even in Lakewood and in other parishes around the world. The communities who come together throughout the week. Their lives are intertwined with their church community. That is their family. So it was then that we became a true church. And then Jose came and brought the Mother of God with him. That's how these things work. The closer you come to Christ, the closer you come to know Him. So, like Father Victor said, the icon, in 2006, we noticed this beautiful fragrance that seemed to be everywhere. And I was a police officer at the time, and I was injured on duty, so I had surgery. And I remember waking up in the recovery room at the hospital, at the Kaiser, I think it was, and I remember smelling this fragrance of roses. I think, wow, that's interesting. And then I'd smell it at work, at home, everywhere. And I remember telling my kum, you know, the godmother to my wife and I when we were married, I'm smelling this fragrance. She said, oh, it's mock orange. I said, mock orange? I don't even know what a mock orange is, let alone have I ever seen a mock orange. What is a mock orange anyway? Is that a fruit or a plant or a flower? Anyway. So I said, I'm sure. I'm sure I'm allergic to it because I'm allergic to everything else. And it would come and go. And then on October 6th, like I told this story many times, I'll say it again. Our cat walked into our little office, which was our chapel, where the icon was. Began walking toward the bookshelf and kind of standing on his hind legs and just kind of reaching. I was afraid he was going to jump up there or something, you know, knock everything down, which is what cats like to do. And picked him up. It was like thousands and thousands of rose petals had fallen into the room, invisibly surrounding us. And I'm holding him and he's smelling this fragrance. I'm like, what is that? Up until then, I didn't perceive it. I took one of God's least amongst us, tiniest creature, who may have had a better connection with Christ than I did. And he was able to perceive this. Eventually we searched. We found this icon, no Riza, no Kiot, no blue covering, lying on the top shelf, lying flat, facing up. And so it had fallen over. And I remember this icon I had for years and years, over a decade before that. It was purchased at a bookstore in Toronto in the 90s, maybe when Jose was still alive. And it ended up in Hawaii, and somehow when I got married and we bought our home and moved, you know, when you move and you unpack, you put things in places and they disappear, right? So this is what occurred. And I said, I put my hand up there. I said, there's something there. And I pulled it off. Wow. And it was like a waterfall that followed. In fact, it's a solid wood bookshelf. So you can actually squeeze the wood itself. So it had been streaming for many months because it was so saturated. You can actually squeeze the wood. And it's solid wood. And you know, now that I think about it, even at the time, I said, you know, I remember watching the reunion liturgy because our priest went there. Father Anatoly went to Moscow for the reunification service, or the act of communion, probably a better way of putting it. And I remember smelling this fragrance, not knowing what it was. So we found it, brought it to church, and it was one of two icons that we found. The other was a little cross from Mount Athos made at a skeet, ironically, under the Iveron Monastery. And they both were giving myrrh. And the icon of Christ, the crucifix, is very different. It smells like cinnamon or something masculine. Very masculine. We have a Palestinian family in the church, and they say it smells like the unction stone in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And that's what comes out of the cross. Actually, when you walk into the church, you can actually smell the fragrance surrounding the cross.
Is this still streaming?
It streams only on Pascha and only during the liturgy. No. Only during the liturgy. And that streamed in great abundance for 6 months to a year and slowly stopped. And then started streaming occasionally. In fact, when we were in Georgia with the icon for 3 weeks, it was pouring myrrh in Hawaii. And my wife would call me every day and say, are you okay? Are you okay? The cross is streaming. The cross is streaming. I said, I think I'm okay. And Georgians, there is no one who shows you hospitality like the Georgian people.
Oh,
everywhere you go, they feed you. Oh my goodness. I've never had that much touch of woody in my life. And it was amazing. They tell you, where are you going? To Tbilisi? Oh, no, no. In Batumi, we make better. And then you go to his province, and they tell you, oh, no, no, they don't know how to make it in Batumi. They make it here the best. And you know what? It's amazing. Everywhere we went. Everywhere we went. So, after the Malyabin, with the two icons present, Father Anatole is wiping them, cleaning them. This elderly, saintly priest of a man turns and he says, well, we're streaming icons here. And this will change all our lives. So the icons were taken to San Francisco, where they were kept for many months. And we went back to our daily lives, not really knowing or understanding what took place, really. I still don't, really. And I always wonder what happened to those icons. Probably in some monastery or cathedral somewhere, you know. And about 6 months later, after it was Father Serge Kotar who called me. And he said, the Archbishop wants to speak with you. And I said, well, that can't be good. And he said, no, no, no. This is interesting. And he became very serious. I talked to Vladika. And he said, Nektari, the icons are going to be sent back to Hawaii. I said, really? He said, yes. The cross, take the cross, keep it in the church for the people. And the icon will be given back to you. I said, okay. And he said, the icon needs to be taken to all the people, to all the churches, to all the monasteries. The people need to bear witness of what we have seen. And I said, what's going on? He said, she continuously streams myrrh. When you pray, she streams. And when you don't, she stops. So when you don't pray, or when you don't connect with Christ, that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just at that moment, there is no room. So, he said, a special blessing has been given that this holy icon, and it is not us who gives this blessing, as in the bishops. It is us to give a caretaker, an icon bearer, an iconophoros in Greek, who will take this icon to all the churches and monasteries. And I said, well, who are you going to get to do that? And he said, you. And I said, Madika, I said it before, I have a mortgage, you know, I have a cat, I have a job, I have a wife, not in that order. I think I said the wife first.
You say it.
And he said something I'll never forget. Lydika said, don't worry, the Mother of God will provide.
Wow.
I had never heard that before. And I didn't understand it. As an Orthodox Christian of several decades, I did not understand that until later. What did he mean by that? He usually say, God will provide. God will provide. Right? We're in that Americanized Protestant mindset, right? Even though we're Orthodox, every now and then it brings its ugly head. God will provide, God will provide. Mother of God will provide, the saints will provide. I understand now what he meant. You see, when you go to her, you go to him. When you go to them, you go to him. They are intrinsically linked with one another. This is the embrace, as it is called in the gospel, the Abraham's bosom, right? To be embraced by God. This is sort of advanced theology, but it is a deep connection with Christ. That's what Orthodoxy is. Mm-hmm. It's not tertiary, it's not something that is abstract. Orthodoxy is to connect with Christ on an intimate level. That is why we're given this, to help us. This is not a spectacle. This is not a circus. This is a spiritual tool to help us, to bring us closer to Christ. That's what this is. That's why we are given this. And we, as Orthodox Christians, even Catholics and Protestants who understand, who feel it, they honor because they know something is drawing them to this. What? It is the Holy Spirit. So since that time, she has traveled all over the world. This has been 15 years, the same amount of time that our dear beloved Jose traveled the world. So people have been afraid for me, personally, because I've been walking his path up until now. But this is something where we travel along together. And since that time, 15 years ago, for this small, humble little icon, hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people have venerated, have been healed. Naomi talked about her trip to Georgia for 3 weeks, and they estimate nearly a million people came to venerate the icon. People were pouring over the border. There was even a special allotment for people in Abkhazia to come over the border into Zugdidi on the bridge to Abkhazia, which we walked on, apparently, which you're not supposed to do, but we did. We served the Malyev in there, and the people came. And we're anointed and venerated the Mother of God. In one church alone there in, I think it's, what's it called? Mahata? It's a beautiful church dedicated to Mahata, to the Ivaran icon of the Mother of God. And they have an elder there, a future saint, God willing, Elder Sava, who helped found the monastery and I believe helped establish the building of that church. Massive cathedral. Massive. And of course, it was the first liturgy there, and it was six priests serving. Six. Three Georgian, three Rokor, Zarubezhne Tsarka, and then the Patriarch. It was the first liturgy with the Mother of God. The Prime Minister was there. The President was there. 100,000 people were present on the mountain. You needed tickets, I believe it was, in order to actually get through the military blockade in order to go to the mountain to venerate the icon. And you could only get it if you had gone to church the previous Sunday in your prospective churches. Smart. Very smart. So if you didn't go to church, you're out of luck. So people came. And what happens when you have a church with no roof and there's 100,000 people praying? It rains. And it rained very heavily. In fact, I remember them bringing a tent to cover the icon. And I remember looking at the tent now, and it said Budweiser on the side of it. But it's what they had. You know, it's what they had to protect the Mother of God. And there were military personnel there, guarding her, protecting her. And you know what? In the beginning, they would let people kiss. And then the patriarch said, we have to go. We have to take the icon to the symposium. It was the start of the symposium. And I begged him, I said, Your Holiness, maybe if we can go tomorrow instead. And we ended up, he said, you know what? Stay here. Stay here. Keep the icon here. And you come tomorrow. So we went on the second day of the symposium to the Mother of God. And he says to me, he says, you know, you Orthodox in America, you are very blessed because you are small and you are given such gifts. He said, but the blessing, true blessing, is that you're given time with these gifts. You're given time. He said, my people have very little time, but God will bless them. See, at some point, about 18 hours. You couldn't venerate the icon because there wasn't enough time. They could simply touch. They were pulled away. And Father Michael Pakazi told me later, he said, people were healed. People were healed. So God made a connection, even though it was just like that. Remember, in an instant is an eternity to God, right? Because time does not exist to him. So, God willing, she'll be taken back there. You know, we planned to bring her in 2020 to many places, including Ukraine, Belarus, Greece. Fortunately, the world got distracted by a different kind of evil that distracted us from Christ, that did more damage to the church than anything that we have undertaken in the past 2,000 years. Think about that. Think about that. And we did it to ourselves. We did it to ourselves. What happens when the Antichrist comes? Father Seraphim Rose always says, even the elect will fall. Even those who are Orthodox will follow him blindly. We have her. We have the Mother of God. We have truth. I'll tell you just one story and then I'll finish. It was about 10 years ago. And it was about 5 a.m. And I get a phone call. And I said, hello. And he said, where's the icon? I was like, who is this? It was a friend of mine who was a police officer who I had worked with, who had quit to become a photographer. And he traveled the world. You go to Jerusalem, you go to Turkey, you go to Russia, you go to Serbia, you go everywhere. Catholic again. Never once shown any interest in the holy icon, never asked me a single question. And he said, "Where's the icon?" I said, "Well, why do you care? She's in the chapel. Go to the icon." So I started getting a little nervous. I said, "Okay." So I got dressed, ran to the icon, opened up the chapel, went in. I said, "Okay, I'm in front of the icon. What's she doing?" "She," he said, "she. What's she doing?" "She." I said, "Well, nothing, she's dry." "Nothing." He said, "Huh." And I said, "What's going on?" He said, "I'm in Warwick." I said, "Warwick? I'm in Warwick. It's a suburb in Cairo." This was about 6 months before the Arab Spring. He said, "I'm standing at a church dedicated to the Mother of God, and she's walking on the dome." And I said, "What?" He said, "There's about 50,000 people here, Coptics, Coptic Church. 50,000 people here. And we're watching the Mother of God. She's walking on the dome, then she walks on the bell tower, and then she appears on the dome and on the minarets." I said, "Well, can you take a picture?" He said, "I'll take a video. Send me a video." There were 50,000 people there, and for several months during that year, the Mother of God appeared to the Arabs, to the Copts. She appeared also in Skidus, in the ancient monasteries. But this is the most publicized. And there were 50,000 Christians there, surrounding the church. And then, in the street, there were maybe 10,000 military officers there. They don't have police, they have military police there. And then on the other side is a mosque, and they had 100,000 Muslims there protecting the mosque. He witnessed a Muslim man cross over and was baptized by a Coptic priest, went back, and was stoned to death. He witnessed a man be killed, martyred, really. That's what it is. I know they're disassociated with us, but that man died for Christ. And the police did nothing. And now someone who was one can tell you for a fact that they did it to protect the greater populace. Because they've intervened, it would have caused a massive riot and thousands would have died. Still, he witnessed that and he said it shook him forever. But he saw the Mother of God and he was filming her. And what was interesting is his friend, who is a translator and also a guide, was on the other side of the church, thousands of people away. And he said the exact same thing that my friend said, that he looked there, and the Mother of God was looking at him. Direct eye contact with him. Smiling at him. And the woman next to him, she's looking at me. The person a few feet away. She's looking at me, him, friend, on the other side of the building. She's looking at me, smiling at me. She's covered in blue and white and gold. In fact, he made a video, and he ended up uploading it to, what's that thing called, YouTube. It's interesting, it's very blurry. He said, "But I'm looking at her, and it's, I can see her. Her features." So as we're talking, you can hear the people making a ruckus in the back. I said, "What's the icon doing?" And I said, "Well, nothing, she's dry." And as we're talking, you can hear what sounds like thousands of people inhale or exhale, you know. And I said, "What's going on?" He said, "She disappeared. She's gone. She disappeared." right at that moment, a single bead of mirror formed on her star, streamed down the icon, single bead. And I said, she's streaming, the icon's streaming. And he said something I'll never forget. He said, well, I guess she's with you now. So, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because of what we bore witness to yesterday. We have now that we are given such grace. And what is this grace? This grace is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit as we believe the prayers of the Mother of God. We are given a great gift. It was removed from us because perhaps of our lack of faith, this is a temptation for myself and for everyone, getting used to something like this, right? Oh, it's the icon. Nice. That does not please God. Because this is meant to help us, not to hinder us. Did it hinder us? Were we spoiled? Perhaps. Are we so now? I hope not. We're given this gift. Every day I wake up and I go to the chapel and I go to the Mother of God and I get on my knees and I say, thank you. Because one day I may go in there and she may be gone. And that is my greatest fear, I think, right? That she might be gone. And we are left to fend for ourselves. But, if that happens, it's okay. It's okay. Because God will not abandon us. If our hearts are pure, if our eyes are opened, and I don't mean these eyes, I mean this eye, the eye of our soul, the noose that is open to Christ, and He will come, and He will bring us and give us the greatest miracle on earth, greater than 10,000 wonder-working icons. And that is the body and blood of Christ. That is the greatest miracle. I always tell people it's why the sun shines. It's why the birds sing. It's why the wind blows. So that Jesus Christ could come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So thank you all for your kindness and your generosity. And your courage in braving this freezing 72-degree weather. I'm from Hawaii. You know, it's beautiful. I said, it is? I said, yes, it's beautiful. I said, oh, Lord have mercy. It's freezing. Well, thank you for your kindness.
Presentation. I'm going to call on Matushka Theodora to come up, and I think we need to close the blinds because she's going to show us some dramatic video on the screen to your left.